I want to welcome you to Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan, and we are so thankful that you are here with us tonight. If you're a guest tonight, all we ask from you is that you fill out a visitor's card and drop it in the offering plate. Guests, we don't want you to put anything else in that offering plate. Our membership is wonderful about taking care of the needs of our body, and so we just ask that you give us the card so that we can get back in touch with you just to say thank you for coming and joining us here. Body, we have a lot of announcements on the back of your worship guide. If you haven't read them yet, you need to read them. Don't read them while we pray. Don't read them while we do worship. But you need to read them because they're important. There's a lot of activities coming up. One activity that we have coming up is we have move-in tomorrow morning at 7:30. We're going to meet here in the parking lot right out here and all go over together and help on the north side of the A&M campus, helping people move in as a way to minister to those students coming into town and to their families. Now, if you don't have a brown shirt, one of those nifty brown shirts like they have out back, you still have time to get one because we're going to wear those as we go over so that people can identify us together as a group. We have a mini work day scheduled for here at St. Michael's next Saturday at 8:30 in the morning. We need probably 20 or so people. We have some chair racks to put together. We need to run down to Living Hope College Station and try and get some chairs from there. And we have a few other things that we're going to do to help minister to St. Michael's. And so if you can come at 8:30 next Saturday, meet out here. If you have any questions, get in touch with Joe Montgomery because he's going to be leading that work day. We also have a steak night coming up, men. There you go. Come on. We have steak night on the 31st over at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We're going to join with them and some other bodies and just have a time of fellowship for men. So come join us at that. Now, body, I've been kind of lighthearted, but I really need your help. We as elders need your help. Okay? We have lots of kids coming here, both children of members and children that we bring. And we need your help because we're guests here at St. Michael's. Okay, we just rent this place and we're guests. And we've had a few incidents come up to where we've gotten some complaints from St. Michael's. And so we need you as a body to help us out. You remember, as members, we've agreed to be involved in the lives of every child here at Living Hope Bryan, both our own children and other people's children as well. And so, body, we need your help. If you see a child doing something that you know they shouldn't be doing, it's up to you to tell them to stop it. If you don't feel comfortable after that, come get one of us. Seek out one of the elders, and we can help intervene in that. But we're three men. We cannot police this whole area. We don't want to police the whole area. What we want to do is we want to be a body discipling and raising children to love the Lord. And part of that is following rules and respecting the property of others. And so we really need y'all to help us with that. If you have any questions about what kind of help we need or specifics, how you can help, please come talk to myself, talk to Joe Montgomery, talk to Alan Palermo, and we'll be happy to share with you what we can. Thank you, and let's worship together.
Let's take a couple of minutes right now to prepare our hearts for worship. There's going to be a couple of verses on the screen. I want y'all to read those and just think about what they mean. Ask God to show you what His heart is for this evening. Pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you that you have given us everything we need to live this life, God. Not to muddle through it, God, but to have an abundant life. Abundant life in you, Lord. God, I know that there's hard times in our lives, Lord, but we can live like we had the victory. Because you've already given it to us, God. You've already completed the work you need to do. Help us to celebrate even now, God, even tonight. Lord, break us of the habit of only celebrating on Easter and Christmas. We can celebrate your resurrection now. Every day, God, help us to live that way, Lord. Thank you, God. We praise you tonight. We worship you, Lord. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now stand with us as we worship. God, we thank you for that victory. Thank you that you have taken care of it. Lord, I pray that we would all know who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, open all of our eyes to see you tonight. God, help us to continue to worship you. God, bless the kids as they come. In Jesus' name, amen.
So you guys looking forward to tonight?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Yes, the Bible. We're going to teach out of the Bible tonight. But, guys, I've been thinking, and I'm pretty excited about tonight. Just excited to see you guys. But I've got some games in store for us tonight. All right? You're going to listen to this. All right? Blind man's tag. All right? What I'm going to do is Grant here? Grant's not here? Jackson, what I'm going to do, you're going to be it, and I'm going to blindfold you. And we're just going to put everybody on the rock area, and we're just going to let you run around and tag people. How's that sound? There's large wooden obstacles. And you're going to run? Okay. Well, what about, I got another game. Blind man's Frogger. Do you guys know what Frogger is? Frogger is where, like, it's this game you try to get the little frog across the road without getting hit. And so what I thought we'd do is I got a bunch of these blindfolds. We'll just blindfold you guys and see how many times we can get across South College. No one's excited about that? No? Alex is? No, guys, those... If anyone tells you to play those games, do not, all right? Whether it be me or Alan or anybody, do not play those games, all right? They are not safe. In fact, they're crazy. But I got something for us in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And basically what that says is when there's no vision, when there's no plan, when there's nothing that people are moving towards, they just run around in chaos. And that's crazy. It's crazy for us to put blindfolds on and run across that street. That would just be chaos. But guys, that's what it is when we don't have vision. When we don't look to the Lord to see what he says. And the vision that he gives us, guys, it's right here. Amen. It's in his word, and it's through prayer that we see what God has set before us, what he has called us to be, and what he's called us to walk in. And so it's crazy for us to stay out of this, to keep this thing closed, to not seek God in his word and through prayer, and to run around and think that we can minister for him. And it's, I mean, at best, it's chaotic. At worst, it's just downright sinful and arrogant. So, guys, just like it's crazy to put these blindfolds on and play in the street, it's crazy for us not to seek God in his word, to seek his truth, to seek what he has in store for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Father, and the vision that you give us. Father, and I pray that tonight that you would just speak through Alan, clearly, Father, showing us, putting us and making us, Father, of one accord, Father, of one mind, that we would work together in unity, in love, for your glory. Father, making disciples of the nations. Father, growing as disciples of ourselves. Lord, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Nothing, God, nothing can separate us. Help us understand that, Lord. God, as we've run from you, Lord, help us to realize all we got to do is turn around. Nothing separates us. Not our past. Not our future. Nothing can separate us from you. God, thank you that you have fulfilled the law, God, that we don't have to go through the rituals that the Israelites did, that were a temporary thing. God, we can come right to you because Jesus made the way. Thank you for that, God. Again, I ask you, Lord, help us to live lives like we understand what you've done, at least some of what you've done. God, forgive us for being so excited about earthly things and forgive us for being so quick to forget what you've done for us. God, we want to continue in worship tonight, God, to honor you, to praise you, God. Help us to do that as we listen to your word. Help us to do that as we meditate on what you're saying to us tonight, Lord. And ultimately, God, help us to respond. Lord, change us. Don't let us leave here the same. We need to be like you. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Good evening. There's a bunch of y'all out there. That's good. Praise the Lord. And these windows, I ain't got used to them yet, but it's going to be all right because you know what? It's time that the community gets to see what's going on in the church, right? All right. I was kind of wondering about that when they came out, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. These people walking by, they get to see that this church is full and active and God's doing something. And it is. I want y'all to know tonight, if you're here as a member, we're going to be talking about vision for the next 3 weeks. Y'all are stuck with me. Because we're going to do a three week series on the vision, and so tonight, I mean, as I was going through that, I was thinking, man, you know, what all this big picture of where we're going, and you know, and who am I to say where we're going, you know, and so it's just been really neat to just sit down here and think, how are we going to do this? Well, tonight we're going to be talking about our mission statement, okay? And so that's one of the things that we're going to do. And I know that sounds maybe boring to some of you guys who aren't members. And if you're a visitor here, man, this will be a great time for you to check us out, you know, because where are we going? I mean, because you don't want to get on a train if you don't want to go, all right? You need to know where we're going. And so this would be a good time for you to see what we're all about. And, you know, and if you're not a believer in Christ here tonight, I'm going to tell you, I really believe that to see what God does with a body of believers, and our hope at Living Hope, Brian, has always been to be a light to those in dark, okay? And so if you're here tonight and you're just visiting, I pray that this will be encouraging to you. But we're going to do a three-week series, and tonight we're going to talk about our mission statement. But this whole idea of vision, I think, is foreign to a lot of us, because if we're totally honest with ourselves, we would agree that the idea of vision is foreign to most of us, okay? Why'd I say that? Because most of us go through life being tossed back and forth by emotions, circumstances, and personal desires, you know? I mean, we get on cruise control, you know? And when we do that, I'm going to tell you, as human beings, when we put ourselves on cruise control, we mess up, okay? And so we need God to come in and intervene every now and again to show us where we need to go, how we need to go, just like our parents need to intervene in those kids' lives at times. But the fact that we're done like that, I mean, we rarely consider the consequences that could possibly occur from this aimless and reckless way of life, okay? The bottom line, guys, is we need direction. Y'all agree? Okay. Do y'all need directions? Do y'all know where y'all go? Y'all know everything going on? I mean, you know what it's like? You get up the next day, what something happens, you do the squeaky wheel theory, you know? You work there, and that's what, I feel like a pinball machine sometimes, man. I'm just all over the place. Whatever hits me, wow, that's crazy. Whatever hits me, that's which way I go, okay? But as I was thinking about this, one thing I know about God is that He pursues us, okay? And I was thinking about that, and God brought me back to a time when I was about 24, 25 years old in the little church that we grew up in. And we were at a revival service, okay? And that was on a Wednesday, and I normally didn't do anything like that on a Wednesday because I came to church when I wanted to, and I came to church when was convenient to me, okay? And so for me to be there was just a miracle of God anyway. But as I was in that service, I can tell you right now, I don't remember what the guy preached on. I don't remember the guy. But I remember that God spoke to me clearly, and God was working on me, and conviction was so hard on me. God was pursuing me. I'm going to tell you what, guys. I was in church, but I wasn't doing very good. I was one of those dads that just kind of did. I've been a good dad, but man, I sure wasn't serving God, okay? And in the midst of all this, this preacher just got all up in my grill. And after the invitation, it's pews like this, you know. And when the invitation came, I did like I always did, man. I resisted, you know. I grabbed a hold of that pew, carving my nails into that thing, you know. And I grabbed a hold of that pew, and I said, "No, not tonight, Lord," you know. And so they did like the little Baptist church do, man. I think they sang three more songs because he knew I needed to respond, you know. And then he did the little trick that, you know, anybody needs prayer, we all got our eyes closed, raise your hand up. You know, he did that little trick. I didn't do that. Stuck to my guns, you know. And it was all over, and they closed in prayer, and I said, yes, I escaped again, you know. Any of y'all ever feel like that? Y'all just feel like God's wearing you out, and you're like, man, I just don't want to deal with it, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when God wants you to deal with something, you're going to deal with it. Because he pulled another little trick on me. In them little old churches, when you bow your head to pray at the closing, the guy who does the preaching, he goes to the door that you got to leave out of. And that's what he did. There was one door. And so I'm like, wow, I got to go by this guy. You know, he was all over me. You know, and so we got. I got out of there, and I was going behind him. And I was watching him. I was watching every move that guy made. I watched him shake people's hands. I watched his, yes, and his, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know. And I was watching him really close because I didn't want to have to confront the guy who just confronted me, you know. And I got straight up to him, guys, and I mean, it's just crazy. He looked me right in the eye. He didn't do this to nobody else. He grabbed me by the hand and he said, I get choked up every time. He said, God's got something special for you. And you know what? I didn't feel so special at that time because I just resisted God. You know, there's nothing. But God's got something special for me. And you know, and ever since then, I can't tell you I grew because it was 10 years probably after that before I ever even went to Living Hope and began to grow some. But I never forgot. I don't know the man's name. I don't know what he preached or nothing. But I know that man looked at me right now and said, God's got something special for you. And so I want you to know here tonight, I don't care where you're at, God's got something special for you. He's got a picture for your life that you can't even imagine. Okay? He's got something special for you. And I went through when I finally began to grow, I got the living hope, and I'm like, man, is this it, God? Is that something special that you're talking about? And I went to experiencing God. God did some things in my life. I said, man, is that it, God? I always was looking for that something special. I became a deacon. You know, I said, oh, yeah, that's got to be it. You know, God, that's something special. You know, I became a Sunday school teacher. I said, God, is that it? He said, no, there's more, Alan. You know, and I became a director of deacons. All these things I began to do just by saying yes to God. I began to do these things, and I kept saying, God, is that it? And he said, no, Alan, there's more, you know. And then here I am today. You know, I'm sitting up here in front of you guys, and I'm saying, God, that's got to be it because I'm done, you know. He says, no, Alan, there's more. You know, and I want you to know tonight that there's more. God wants more for every one of us in this place than we could ever even imagine. Because the whole thing about vision is not how you see yourself. Okay? You've got to get to where you see God how God sees you. You see yourself like God sees you. Okay? And God had pretty good vision with a couple of guys, huh? Moses didn't think he could do anything. But God said, you're going to deliver my people. You know, God had a vision for Moses that Moses didn't have a vision for himself. Paul, he intercepted him on the road to Damascus. Paul had all different plans that day. But God intercepted him. God pursued him. And he said, no, you're going to be the one that preaches to the Gentiles. So God, I've got a special purpose for you. So that's the God that we're talking about trying to get vision from, okay? We're not talking, this vision series, now we are going to talk about some logistical things that the churches need to do and what we need to do as a church. But basically, man, we just need to see from God. You know, true vision comes from God. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. That's the NIV. That's what Dustin said. Okay. And where there's no vision, the people perish. That's the King James Version. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. The New Living Translation. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I like that one. That's the Message. No matter how you say it, translate it, without vision, revelation, divine guidance, the people we lead will be confused, scattered, unfocused, and easily distracted. Okay? And that comes from a book by Craig Groeschel called It. And if you've never read It, I suggest you read It. Because it's an amazing book. And the thing about It is it is that thing, that undescribable thing that people have because of their relationship with God that people just can't understand. Organizations have it. Churches have it. You're like, there is something about that group of people. I cannot put my finger on it, but they got it. You know? And it may be individuals in this church, whatever, but they got it. And I want to tell you, as I was thinking about that, Living Hope, Brian, we have a little bit of it. You know? I really do believe that we have it, okay? But I'll tell you one thing. Without vision and without continuing on and without letting God grow us, we can lose it as quick as we got it, okay? And so we got to continue in that. It is just that, what is it about this group of people? You know, maybe some of you sitting here today say, these are some crazy people, you know? I'm going to tell you, the only reason we're crazy is because we're crazy for Jesus, okay? That's it. And we're going to do things. And when we get into our mission statement, you know, it's real. And I'm going to tell you, if you live that way, it can radically change your life, okay? But the last thing we need is another group of people going about aimlessly doing good deeds. See, we don't need to just be a church, a busy church, doing good things, okay? We need to be people set apart by God, led by God, for a specific purpose, going in a specific direction, okay? And that's not just, okay, the elders say we're doing this as a church, the leadership team says we're doing this as a church. No, this is a personal invitation to you, okay, from God, to have a vision for yourself. But your personal vision impacts the vision of the church, okay? And so that's all tonight. That's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. And then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be asking ourselves, why does Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian, exist? Okay, that's a great question to ask yourself over and over. And we have to, even the people that were in the core group, this is a time for us to refresh ourselves, say, what did we say? What are we doing? You know, it's a great time to just reevaluate what's going on. Okay? And we're going to be asking ourselves, why am I here? You know, you may ask yourself, man, why am I being called to this body of believers? And then we're going to also be asking, maybe, where are we going? You know, we don't know all the answers, but I tell you what, God gives us just enough answers to let us know where we need to be going, okay? One thing I know about God, and I went to a financial advisor one time, and man, I went in there, and she advised me to make more money. but she showed me all these things that I would have to be financially secure, and I was like, it ain't going to happen, you know? And she said, well, I know that's a little overwhelming. Just start right here. See, and I think that's the way God works with me. I know that's the way He works with me. God doesn't say, Alan, this is what I want it to look like, and lift up the sheets and say, this is what it's going to look like forever. God says, Alan, you messed up right here. Let's work on this right now, okay? This is what I want this to look like, and then we'll go to the next step, okay? And I think He works with churches that way as well, okay? And so God's not going to give us a big picture all the time right up front. But it's vital to the health of this body of believers that we continually evaluate why we do what we do, because Satan is a great distractor. And we are easily distracted. Amen? We get out of alignment from time to time. And here's another quote from the book It. It says, a car out of alignment is hard to keep on the road. It wears out tires and other parts and it crash. Without vision alignment, the people are busy doing something. They're driving along, doing church, but without any direction and are easily pulled off center. They're moving with no destination in mind. Without a compelling vision, people just like tires quickly wear themselves out. And the reason I felt like I needed to read that, because you know what? We are a doing church. Guys, my fear for us is that we will wear our tires out doing things that we really don't need to be doing, okay? So God's vision and God's vision points and things like that are very important for us to focus on, but it's going to come from your relationship with God. Because we can't just go out and do things just because they need to be done or other people aren't doing them. We need to do what God called this church to do, and you need to do what God called you to do. Okay? And so you will wear yourself out if you do just everything. And so, you know, as we get into this vision series, we may do some trimming. We don't know. You know, and but we're going to reevaluate everything that we do. Okay? So why does Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian, exist? At Living Hope, Brian, our reason for existence is summarized in what we call a mission statement. You know, you got your mission statement and your vision statement. Along with our mission statement, we have our vision point. Okay, and we're going to talk about that next week and some of those things. But tonight we're going to talk about our mission statement. The vision points are specific areas in which we seek to live out our mission as a church body and as individuals. The things that we do, and we'll talk about that next week. Although some of our specific vision points may change from time to time, our mission will always be the same. Okay? The mission that this group of core believers came up with, and we're going to talk about how that happened earlier, it's never going to change. Okay? That's never going to change. What we do and how we do it, the vision part of it, there's room for change in there. Okay? Because God does different things in different timelines. All right? But we are to, it'll stay the same. And the reason that it needs to stay the same is to bring the honor and glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Okay? And that's, you could quote that back to yourself in your daily life and everything. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. So we're going to look at our mission statement. And our mission statement at Living Hope, Brian, is we are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. All right. Members, y'all need to know this. Let's go ahead and say that. We are a Christian. Okay. We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. And we're going to look a little closer to that at that tonight. But we made it short for a reason. Okay? The reason, it isn't just because I can't remember a lot of stuff real long. But the reason that you make it short, because if you can't remember what your mission statement is, you're not going to do it. You know, so it's got to be something that we remember, okay? But I want you to know, well, how did we come up with that? And I want to tell y'all, when we got the core group together in Living Hope College Station, we met over there. When we came up with statements, when we decided that we were going to make statements, I'm going to tell you what, we were some nitpicking, word-picking people, you know? And y'all that know there, we said, hey, if we say this, that means this. Nothing that we came up with that ends up on paper for this church was done flippantly. I can tell you that. It was done from prayer, and every time, and it was like, well, if we say that word, we're going to assume this, okay? So each word in this statement means something to us. Okay, and we really feel like that it's a God-ordained statement, because you look at it and it's one that it's a generic statement that everybody love God, love people. You know, these people have no vision. You know, that's all they had to think about: love God, love people. They just barred somebody else's. Okay, but that's not true. This statement here has a lot of power in it, and I hope you see that tonight as we look into it. And so when we leave here tonight, I hope even as members of that core group that maybe didn't get it when we put it together, I pray that tonight when you get here, this vision statement will be embedded in your heart. I pray that tonight because if we don't get this, we can't do nothing. Okay? This is the very first part. If we don't get this, if we don't have buy-in from you guys that are members of this church on this one mission statement, we can't do any of the vision stuff. Okay? And so as we look at this, let's look close. Now, where else did it come from? It came from Scripture, of course. Everything that we do, we want to make sure that it's backed up in Scripture. So as we look at this, we are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. The first Scriptures that come to mind for us and that we apply to this is the Great Commandment. Okay? It's a familiar Scripture, but I want to read it to you guys because there's some power in that, okay? It's in Mark chapter 12, 30 through 31, and then again, it's actually in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, but we adopted the Mark 12, 30 through 31. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." And as I was thinking and praying about what is the first step for us to know what God's vision is in this 3-week deal? What is the first step? And the thing that God kept pressing on my heart was, if individuals don't get it, you can't do it as a body, okay? And as I was reading this Great Commandment, God just confirmed that, okay? Because the Great Commandment says, love the Lord your God. See, this isn't a corporate thing. This is saying this is between you and God. You love the Lord, your God, if He's your God. Now, if you're not a believer, He's not your God. You don't know how to love Him. Okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the reason that verse is so much to me, because it was in experiencing God. God used that verse to just radically change my life. Okay? Because I couldn't get past that word all. Because all means all, and that's all means. You know? You can try to act like that you can bring in another scripture that maybe contradicts it a little bit so you can kind of have a reason to rebel against that word. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't rebel against all. That word says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And man, God just grabbed me because I was at a point where I was really doing well, I thought, you know. But God said, Alan, that word says all. Do you love me with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength? And immediately the Holy Spirit began to run things through my mind that I was holding against God, you know. And I'm not going to get into the whole big story, but the bottom line is God confronted me that day and said, do you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? He got me in the corner and I finally said, yes, Lord, I do. And that decision changed everything in my life, okay? Because he confronts me with that same question daily, okay? And I think he does the same with us. Because we all have little hidden areas that we say, nuh-uh, God. Everywhere else is fine, but leave that alone. He's coming right for it. Anything you identify as that you don't want him to mess with, he's coming for it. Because you've already put that as a barrier between him, okay? Love the Lord. And it says, then love your neighbor as yourself. That's your neighbor. It's not my neighbor. Okay? You've got an accountability to love people. That's love God, and you got a personal accountability from the Word of God, from Christ, because you're saved to love others, and it's non-negotiable. You cannot not think about people. Okay? People have to be important to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you think this isn't a very important commandment, well, we've got another trump for you. There is no commandment greater than these. If you get confused and you don't know what God's will is and you have no idea what you need to do, do these two things and we'll be just fine. Okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you get distracted, these verses should be your reset button. Okay? As a Christian, we all get distracted. We all get off track. But these are perfect reset buttons to where you can say, God, I'm sorry. And sometimes you come here, sometimes you just do it in your car. God, I'm sorry. I'm back. You know, God, that's the kind of God with the grace of God. You know, that's the kind of God that we have. We also came from this statement from the Great Commission, okay? And says, then Jesus came to them and said. See, the commission is for us as individuals too, but he came to them and said. The Great Commission, I think, is for the body of Christ, you know? It's for each individual, but it's for them. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's got all the authority to tell us what to do, and he's fixing to, okay? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What an amazing, graceful God that he doesn't give us some impossible task and leave us to do it by ourselves. He is there with us every step of the way. But what are the things that he tells us to do? He tells us to go. Okay, he tells us to go. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a big thing for this church right here, because we don't have a building. We're in this building, but we feel like that we are a church body that is going to go outside of the walls of these church and pursue the community. That's one of the things that we'll talk about. We'll maybe talk about that a little next week too. Each individual believer is supposed to go. You cannot take your faith, have it for yourself, and keep it for yourself. You are to go, give it away, make disciples. And we just got back this week so we're to go. Everybody up front with that? Okay? When you leave right here, if you're a saved, born-again Christian, you are to go and tell other people about Jesus. Okay? And it's non-negotiable. You have to do that, you know? Okay? But we're to make disciples. I mean, we just came from a conference last night, Men at the Cross, and that is really probably the emphasis of that particular conference is that men, and talking about men, I'm going to tell you what, guys, it's time for us to step up, you know, because we should be the guys coming alongside some of these young guys or whatever. Basically, what the principle is, it's like Paul taking Timothy until Timothy can make him a disciple. See, and as members of this church, it is our job to make disciples. See, you, every one of you, whether you're a woman, child, whatever, you have the ability or somebody near you that you can bring them closer to Christ. Okay? And one of the things that this guy said, and this guy was really, really bold, and I'm just going to say like he said it so nobody gets mad at me, but it's not for y'all really, but he said what just really bugs him is that he said these big old churches that have, you know, 10,000, 20,000 people, you know, and stuff like that. He said, not against big churches, because if you're in Houston, Texas, if you're not reaching a lot of people, I'm not real sure you're doing everything right, okay? That's my own opinion. But what he's saying, these guys get to these churches, and they build other churches, and then other churches, and they have three services on the screen, you know, via satellite type, because the guy can't get everywhere, you know? And the guy says, give me a break. He said, you got 30,000 people, and you can't make two disciples? You can't make two disciples? You can't find two people and 30,000 people that could take them other churches, you know? And I was like, man, that just busted in my spirit. I want to high-five everybody. Because you know, for me, that gave me confidence to know what we're doing is right. Because that's what we did, man. Butch kicked us out. No, he didn't kick us out. We are here because we were discipled by somebody. We were discipled by somebody, and to the point to where we said, you know, God, I'm scared to death, but I will do it. You know, a lot of you guys that are leaders in this church were never leaders before, okay? Y'all said yes. And I praise God for y'all, because if it wasn't for y'all, we couldn't do anything here, you know? The way that God, we'll talk about our format, I mean, just the fact that we have different leadership in here, it's different. We'll talk about leadership a little bit later, because I've got a lot going on here, but the way God's done this, it just keeps getting validated to me just through His Word and through what God's already doing in this church, okay? And so, bear with us, you know, because we're just a bunch of misfits. But the only thing that makes us special is when we spend time with Jesus, just like the apostles, okay? And so that's the commitment that we need to make to each other, that we're going to spend some time with Jesus, okay? And that's going to be the same thing for you, and it is for me. So, if we will wholeheartedly commit to living out this mission statement, just this mission statement, okay? And these scriptures, in every aspect of our life, I'll promise you that you will receive the abundant life that God promised you and you desire. If you'll just do what I just said just right now, God will bless you and you will have that abundant life. In every ministry, from now on, Living Hope, every ministry decision should revolve around, and how does this help us achieve the mission and vision of this church? So everything that we do, every mission, every team, whatever, every decision we need to make needs to revolve around this mission statement, okay? To love God and to love people. It's so like God to give us something like that, because it's beyond ourselves. You know, we love God, we love people, we get ourselves out of the way. So even though this is a short statement, we're going to read it again. We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. It's a short statement, but it defines us, okay? It has to define us. It's a short statement, but it's what defines us. And so we're going to break it down real quick, and I'm going to try to get through this thing real quick, but I wanted to be very thorough, because when you leave here today and you want to be a part of Living Hope, Brian, I want you to know what you're getting into, okay? It says, we are. I'm going to tell you, we broke down every word in that meeting. We are, and that's big. We are a Christian fellowship. We are. That means we are in this together, okay? This isn't a leadership thing. We are in this thing together. I cannot do it without you, and you cannot do it without me. We need each other. We are in this thing together. In my personal vision for this church, has always been that the church would be a tool for you as you go into your workplace and your neighborhood and stuff. It would be a tool for you to come back to and use to do the ministry that God's called you to do out in the community, okay? I mean, if you find somebody in the community that suffers with drug problems or something like that, hey, I'm going to tell you, we have people in here that have, okay? So that's the thing about it. If you don't understand them none, that's the thing about, another thing about being a body that's transparent. We need to know what's going on and what God's done in people's life. We need to see the testimony so we'll know what kind of tools we got in the toolbox. Okay, so it's really a big deal for us, because the church really needs to be the tool for you as you're out there doing ministry. That's our desire. I'm going to tell you, right, Mark, right, Brian, Joe? I mean, as elders and the leadership, they'll tell you that is our desire, for the church to come alongside you in every aspect of your life. Okay? Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Y'all can turn over there if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and start reading because I got some other stuff to talk about. It says, two are better than one, okay? Because they have a good return for their work. It's obvious, out of God's Word, two people can do way more than one person can do. That's just obvious, okay? But if one falls down, his friend can help him up. It says, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. And I want to stop right there, because if you're in this body right now and you're kind of reclusive and you really have not opened up to people, you know, it's some of our fault, because each member here, we're supposed to try to meet 3 to 5 people a week. If you don't know somebody, go up to them and know them. You know if you don't know them. Don't be slick and walk away. Okay? You know if you don't know somebody. Right, you've got permission to forget their names 100 times. Okay? We don't have name tags. That was my vote. But, you know, voting don't go so good over here. We don't like to vote. We like to let the Lord lead us. You know, that was because I have a bad memory. All right? Okay. But you need to get to know folks. Okay? Because if you're the guy, and it's up to you, if you're a reserved person, it's on you as well. Okay? You have a hand to reach. And so it's not just on us. Don't wait. When you're hurting, don't sit back and wait and say, I wonder if they notice. Okay? Because that's where the devil works, you know? When you're hurting, let somebody know that you're hurting. That's why having somebody that you're a disciple is such a big deal. If every one of us had somebody that we disciple and that discipled us, we would already have an avenue to go when we're hurting. Okay? And so to go make disciples, man, that's just a perfect way to do what God intends us to do. So we got to get to know each other. That's step one, okay? And it says, so pity the man who falls and no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. See, whether you like it or not, you need somebody to watch your back against the devil. You know, I can tell you that. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so God never intended for you to do it alone. So we are a Christian fellowship, okay? And man, when I heard that, we are, it brought me back to a movie. Has any of y'all seen the movie We Are Marshall? It's about a football team in West Virginia, you know, the city was revolved, or the university, the town was revolved around that team because they were really, really good. Well, they were going to play ball. The whole team was on a flight. The flight crashed, and the whole team, the coach and everything, were killed, okay? And in this movie, I mean, it's a true story, you know. In this movie, this guy came and he saw this and it just went, it just got his heart. And he said, man, those people need football back to get that community back. And so he came and he began, he brought people together, got a team together. And through a little bit of resistance, either way, he got the team together. And they played the first game and they got killed. They got annihilated, okay? So everybody's like, man. That don't honor these guys, you know. And so the next scene that you see is this coach says, man, how am I going to get this team on the same page? And he took them to the cemetery. He took the team to the cemetery. They showed up out there before game day. And he said, look at these tombstones. Look at these guys. Some of you may not know these guys. He said, but some of you may know these guys. He said, but these are your fallen brothers, okay? These people died. And our purpose for what we're doing is to honor their name and respect their lives, okay? In that one time, those guys came around because of a death of some people that they love. They came around and they said, you know what? Even if it gets hard, we're going to just keep on going, you know, because we want to honor and respect the lives of those guys. And those guys stopped right there and he said, we are. And they would say, Marshall, we are Marshall. But in our statement, we are Christians. The same thing, okay? Someone died for that to happen. For us, we ought to be able to endure anything because we are Christians. Okay, we should be proud of that. We should live a life that honors them and respects them and respects Christ. He died for us, okay? We are Christians. We're unapologetically Christians. Okay? I got to have an amen or I'm not going nowhere. All right. Okay. Because we are Christians. That's a blessed thing, you know, because in this world today, the word Christian really doesn't mean that much to some people. Okay? But we are Christians and we are unapologetically Christians. We're distinct from the world. Some of the decisions that we're going to ask you to make in your life are going to be to trim worldly stuff for more godly stuff. So if you become a member here, get ready for some pruning. Okay, that's the way it is, because that's what God does with every one of us, and it's going to be good. Okay? And they were also called little Christ. They were called little Christ. That's a derogatory thing. They were making fun of them when they called them Christians back in the day. Okay? But we are Christians, and we need to be proud of it. We need to stand up in the marketplace for the Christian ideals. Okay? We need to quit backing down, because we are Christians. We are a Christian fellowship. We're not just Christians. We're a fellowship. We are a team. The word fellowship, we have a sharing in common. We have a partnership. And that partnership comes from Jesus Christ. Because look in this room and look how different we are. If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't be here. Okay? I wouldn't be hanging out with some of y'all. Okay? And that sounds bad, but it's the honest truth. And it's one of the things that I told some guys. I went and spoke at the prison one time. I mean, I've never been in prison. You know, I went and spoke to these guys, and I told them guys, I said, you know what? You got to know that God's real. I said, because if God was not real, I would not be here. I said, because if it wasn't for the love of Christ in me, I could care less about you being behind them bars. Okay? And that's the truth of the situation. But it wasn't until God put compassion on my heart for those guys that I even wanted to do that. Okay? I cared. But before, I told them, man, I would be in my chair watching the Cowboys. You know, if it wasn't for God, okay? But God's love will not allow me to overlook people who are hurting, okay? And it shouldn't allow you to do either as well, okay? So we're a fellowship. We meet corporately and we meet personally. See, we're a Christian fellowship. Y'all need to be able to come over to my house personally, and we need to meet here. When we're here to meet, y'all need to be here, okay? Because it said in Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we're going to talk a little bit more about prayer in another one of the sermons. But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing draws you closer to your brothers than when you get into deep, deep prayer. Okay? And so hopefully we'll get a chance to do some of that, because prayer is one of the most important things. So we're a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. And we're going to spend a little bit of time on that striving. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to go as fast as I can. But I'm going to tell you what, this word striving was a big deal to this group. When we said, you know, we are striving. Because the reason we wanted to put striving in there, because everybody in that group knew that we wasn't there yet. Okay? We are striving to love God and to love people. But see, even though we knew that we weren't there yet, we were committed to grow. That word striving means I am committed to grow. I'm committed to a personal vision. I'm committed to allowing God to take me personally and move me down the road. Okay? And it also means that we are seriously involved by God's Spirit and grace. See, because a lot of us, the reason that we don't get involved, we don't think we have anything to offer. Well, that's just total lie from the devil. If you know Christ, you have something to offer. Okay? You don't have to know everything. If you know Christ, you have something to offer. Let's look in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 13. Now, while y'all turn over there, here's one thing that just I've been reading a lot of different books and stuff, but one of the things on my heart here is when we begin to have these services and stuff, people start coming, you know, and it's great. And if you're a Christian in here today, this is for Christians, okay? People who hadn't made decisions for this. If you're just a Christian in this church today, and you're coming just for what you get out of it, can I recommend another church to you, please? Because we're going to get crowded, and we want to save. I mean, if you're planning on coming here and just receiving and what you get out of it, and you're not ever planning on serving, now we're going to have some grace with you. We're going to get you plugged in. And if you're someone who's kind of complacent right now, look, we will really work with you. If you're in a rut, we want to be here to help you get out of that rut. We're not talking about we don't care about people, because we love God and love people. But if you're a Christian in here today and you've already decided that I'm going to come, I'm not going to get involved, or I'm going to get involved when I want to get involved, Can I offer you another church? Because we need to save room for lost people in this church. Okay, the unchurched, those are the ones that we're after. We don't need no church transfers. If you miff with your church, and if you've got some issues, you can come to me personally, and we'll work through this together. But I'm going to tell you what, don't waste up space in here just sucking up sermons. I've been in a church that did that forever. Okay, I did it, and so I was wasting space in church before, and that's the reason I can tell you all that, okay? That's just a little side note. Because membership has responsibilities, not only with credit cards. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 13. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, any excuse you had is blown away right there. Because it's His divine power has given you everything you need to do this that we're talking about. Okay? And it's through these He has given us His great and precious promises so that through them you may participate. You may participate in the divine nature. It didn't say spectate. Okay? That you may participate. We need to be participants in this thing, okay? In the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And you may say, well, I don't have to add my faith because faith is just by grace. I say by grace, not by any kind of works. Yes, you were. But any true faith, James says, has some actions that go along with that. Okay, and so when he's telling us here to add to your faith, another word for that word add is supplement. And any of you guys that supplement things, the reason that you do that is to make it stronger. You're not trying to build it in itself. So add to your faith, supplement to your faith, make your faith stronger. And how can we do that? We can do that by adding goodness. Okay, when you get the knowledge and you say, God, I'm yours, and you say, God, I want to be a Christian, then you need to add to your faith goodness. Okay, and that's excellence expressed in deeds. It's an action. It's doing some good things. Okay, basically what it does, it takes your focus off you. Because some of y'all maybe in here maybe never done nothing for nobody. You know. But when God gets a hold of you, you say, man, I just can't help. I got to help that person, you know. So goodness. And then to goodness, knowledge. And once you get past yourself and you begin to look out to other people, you need to begin to put some knowledge in you. And that doesn't mean that you just read the Bible. That is part of it. But knowing God, we need to be committed to learn God. Not just learn about God. We need to be committed to learn God. We need to learn His Word, His voice, His ways. And that's why we offer you guys discipleship classes. Because every one of our discipleship classes is drawn to draw you closer to Christ, okay? And those discipleship classes are anointed. And so we got Living by the Book, Experiencing God, and Foundations right now. Oh, we're going to do the prayer one. Awesome. I highly recommend the prayer one. Because it's going to be amazing. This will be the first time that we've ever done it as a body. And I cannot wait to see when our people begin to pray. All right, good. Okay, so those are discipleship classes. Y'all be looking at those. And to knowledge, self-control. See, once you get that knowledge and you begin to know what God wants for you, you need to start manifesting some fruits of the Spirit, okay? Some self-control. And that's not only for us, so you just don't blow up on us. Self-control is also for you because when you do some things that you know you don't want to do or you hadn't done in the past, when you do that, you get confidence in God. You grow closer to God. And that's what it's all about. Okay? And to self-control, perseverance. And that perseverance, that's the tough one because a lot of us, the word for perseverance is views time with God's eyes while waiting for Christ's return. See, the only way you can persevere is realize that you serve a sovereign God. Okay? That He's got things and He has it in control. That's the only way that you can persevere because you know that. Okay? Now, perseverance isn't just while things are going on, you hunker down and take the shots. Okay? Perseverance also means the ability to continue in the faith and resist the pressures of the world system. See, true perseverance means you continue on in what you're doing and what you know that God's told you to do. You continue on. You don't just hunker down. But then not only that, you don't let the world make your decisions for you, okay? And the world is in you, okay? There's a lot of things. Some of the stuff that's in your mind is not a valid way to make a decision when you're talking about persevering in the Lord, okay? That's why we need the Word. That's why we need each other. That's why we need all this stuff, okay? And then to perseverance, godliness. And when you begin to persevere, I'm going to tell you, you're going to become more godly. I promise you, you're going to become more godly. And godly, that just means to a devotion to God. And then when you get this godliness in your heart, you will be able to say, it's not about me, it's about Him. And then to brotherly kindness, love. And to godliness, then brotherly kindness. See, because that godliness always needs to be put into to your brother. And brotherly kindness here is your Christian brothers. See, we need to be we need to be coming along our side of the churches. You know, other Christians, man, we are one. We are the body of Christ. We're going to be here tomorrow night fellowshipping with three other churches. And so y'all come back. It's going to be an amazing time. Okay? And so that's one of the things that God's called this group to do. We are going to be reaching out to other churches. Okay? That's a blessing. And then the brotherly kindness, love. I just want to make a point. If you don't love God, you're not going to love people. You know, you're not going to love people if you don't love God. Okay? Real, true love flows from God, who is love. And we must produce the attributes of God to each other as well as to the watching world. Okay? And so, those are the things. So if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is what? Nearsighted and blind. He has no vision. If you don't have any of these, if you're not adding to your faith, if you're not growing, you have no vision. You're going to become blind. You're going to be like walking across that road with a blindfold on, just like Dustin talked about. Okay? You will have no vision. And has forgotten that he has been changed from his past sins. Man, you see so many people like that. Come in, get saved, and don't grow. And then the next thing you know, they're doing the same thing they were doing when they said they got saved. Okay? You've got to grow. All right? Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich and welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in them. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, we need to keep reminding each other of that kind of stuff. I will always remind you of these things. So you are firmly established in the truth and now that you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. See, in this vision thing, we need to keep reminding ourselves of that on a regular basis. So we'll probably be getting these sermons fairly regular because sometimes we're just forgetful people. Okay, we need that. So we're a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people. The main things that we're talking about. And to love God, what's the way that we can love? What's the greatest way that we can love God? Exactly. Our love for God be shown in many ways, but the most significant way is through obedience. God's word, John 14:15, tells us that if you love me, you will obey my commands. So on the other side of the coin, if you don't obey his commands, you're telling God you don't love him. Okay? That's what you're saying with your action. And again in verse 21, it says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. That's a big deal, okay? Because every one of us in here wants to see God in our lives. Every one of us wants to see God in our marriage. And I want to see God in this church, and I want to see God in my life, okay? We want to see God, amen? Amen. If you don't want to see God, and you're sitting here today, you're wasting your time, okay? We need to want to see God. And see, obedience is our outward expression of love for God. Man, if you ever want to hug God back for giving all that salvation to man, obey him. It's like hugging him. By loving God through obedience, we see God show himself in our personal lives and in our ministry. And I do want to see God. And to love people, okay? Out of all this stuff, sometimes that's the hardest. Amen? Because some people can get on your nerves. Some saved people can get on your nerves. But we're supposed to love them anyway, okay? It's a command in John 13:34-35, okay? But let's look at what kind of love that we have. And, you know, this is a familiar verse, too. So if you've already got these down, you can just go ahead and scratch them off your list. But I'm going to read them anyway, 1 Corinthians 13, okay? Those of y'all read them, y'all already like, yeah, right. We're going to read those. It says, love is patient. How you doing? Love is kind. We're talking about people. Love God and love people. All right? Love is kind. Love does not envy. How you doing on that? It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. Again, how you doing? But love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You stick with love, you can't go wrong because love never fails. Okay? And biblical love is sometimes hard because we need to love people enough to hold them accountable, enough to even rebuke them when they're on a road to destruction or even hell. That's the hardest part of love, is when loving somebody and rebuking them. You see, but love says that love always protects. And see, and as the body of Christ, if it's only the leadership, and if it gets to the point in people's life that they have to be confronted by the leadership, then it's really bad at that point, okay? Because there's never, ever a time when leadership wants to come to somebody and address their sin. Okay, never, ever. That's usually a very, very... We've already went through a variety of processes before that ever happens. But if a true body of believers will have accountability and stuff like that, this can be done within the body and nip Satan in the bud before it ever even gets started, okay? And that's the kind of atmosphere that we want. We want a transparency and where you have the right to speak in my life and I have the right to speak in your life, okay? Because the Word says when you become a member here that we belong to each other, okay? And so that we have that right, okay, when you sign up. But love always protects. Even at the cost of persecution. And love always hopes, and love always perseveres. No matter how many times somebody has done you wrong, when they come back with a repentant heart, the Word says that we're to forgive them. Okay? Now, if you're on the other side of that, we learned that about forgiveness. If you're on the other side of that, repentance, the only way the relationship, the repentance has, it sometimes takes some time. Okay? And so you got to realize that sometimes that repentance takes the time, and the relationship may not be restored yet. But forgiveness, we have to do automatically, okay? So love always perseveres, and we cannot give up. And that's where the power of prayer comes in. Because when you can't stand somebody, and when you can't love somebody, and they're in the body of Christ, when you can't do that, you're going to have to go to God. Because where they may not be worth it, He's worth it, okay? Amen. I got to hear that. Come on, guys. Amen. Because we're all going to get a chance to come back to this again. Okay? Every one of us. So, that's it. That's who we are. You know? Sounds like, that's it. That's who we are. But I want to know where you're at. That's who we are. Where you're at. Where's your level of buy-in? Okay? In his book, Groeschel talks about the three levels of buy-in. Level one, the people believe in the vision enough to benefit from it. These church attenders are people with a consumer mindset. They come to church because they like it. They receive something from the ministry, and to them, that's what's important. I think we already dealt with that one. If that's what you're here for, let me find you another church, okay? Level two, the people believe in the vision enough to contribute comfortably. These people are consumers, but they're ready to contribute as long as it's easy. They're happy to help if it doesn't interfere with their other priorities. Okay? Is that you? We can deal with you. We're going to pray for you. But then there's level three. The people believe in the vision enough to give their lives to it. They understand the vision and they get it. They recognize that their lives are not their own. They belong to Jesus. They are part of the greatest cause on earth. Okay? So I ask you, what level are you at, you know? And really, you don't have to answer me, but you are going to have to answer to God on that one, okay? Because it's a big deal. And you may be sitting here today as a visitor and say, no, these people are serious about this thing. Amen, yes, we are. Because the devil is serious about this thing, you know? The devil is serious and focused and relentless. So we, as the body of Christ, we need to be more serious, focused, and relentless. And so tonight, I just ask that you deal with God on that stuff. And if you want to be a part of this church, we would love to have you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we do these things that are in our mission statement, God is going to bless this church. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your word, God. And I just, Lord, even though, Lord, we know that what you call us to do is not only hard, it's impossible. It's impossible without you, Lord. And so thank you for an impossible task, God, because none of us just want this business as usual church, Lord. I can testify to that. I've been there, God. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone here tonight, Lord, that, Lord, they would evaluate where they're at with you, and, Lord, that they would deal with you in this time of invitation. God, and I pray, God, that you would just change hearts, Lord. And Lord, if anyone needs to talk to us, Lord, I pray that the devil would not get in there, Lord. Just bring someone in their path, Lord. We just need to get this clear, God. And I thank you, Lord. We need a clear vision of where we're going. Thank you, God, for the vision you've already given us. And God, I praise God for the vision that's going to be presented here next week as well. Amen.
Before we get started, just like Alan was saying, respond however God wants you. If you need to stand, if you need to stay seated, whatever it is, as we sing, respond to God. Let our ushers come. Pray with me. God, you are so good. Thank you for your divine presence in our lives, God, and how you have guided us and taken us here where we are now as a body. And God, that your vision is clear. It's not muddled or blurry or anything like that. God, it's easy. Love God and love people. It's clear in Scripture. Help us to follow your vision. Help us to follow you. God, I pray that as we continue in worship with our tithes and offerings, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, in all of our lives, God, every area, our finances, our serving, our giving, our time, everything, God. Help us to remember and use that as a checkpoint. Am I loving you with all of my life? Bless the offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank y'all for coming tonight. It's just a blessing to be a leader of this church because we have got some amazing people, okay? So if you're a visitor, you say, man, he sure is getting on to them. No, we got some amazing people, you know? But we're so amazing, we don't want to settle for less, you know? We want to grow. And so if you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you, you know? Actually, huh? Tomorrow night? Okay. All right. Cool. I didn't know that. We have a new members class at 4 o'clock tomorrow night. So, now, if you want to wait and go two more weeks and make sure, we're going to do the rest of the vision the next two weeks. So please come back. But we also are going to have a corporate worship with three other churches. It should be great. Brother David Medina is going to be bringing our word for us. And possibility of having a couple praise dancers, you know, just don't know until who comes up, you know. So that's one thing that we've learned is you can worship God a variety of different ways. And so when we go with them other churches, man, that's one of the things we're trying to show, that there's unity in what we do, you know. And you don't have to do it just like we do it if we love the same God, right? Okay, and so that's going to be a good time tomorrow night. And then we have our business meeting at 5. And so that will be the meeting where if you have any questions about the budget and things like that, I know some of y'all tuning all that out as business stuff, but if you're interested in the business of it and you have some input and you've looked at the thing, tomorrow will be the time to ask questions and stuff, because the next week we're just going to come for approval and that'll be a very short meeting, okay? And then we have our ministry team fair next week as well, okay? And so anything else that's on the... Yeah. Okay, yes, the intercessory prayer, there's a time, for those of y'all don't know, at 5 o'clock on every Sunday, we've been meeting anybody who wants to come and pray, and we pray for a variety of different things. We're interceding for those who can't intercede for themselves, you know, just we've already seen answered prayer in that prayer time, and so it's been really, really neat. You know, more people, everybody's invited at 5 o'clock, but this Sunday it will be at 4, since we have our business meeting at 5, so if you want to come pray at 4, they needed one of them rooms over there. So allow God to stretch you in that area. I'm going to tell you, he can do some amazing things. And we do have to set up, we got to take down the mic, right?
Yep.
Okay. Everybody take down, so if y'all can help us, that would be great.
Preschool.
Just the preschool? Oh, yeah, we're going to
do that. Stuff.
Yeah, let's not do that. Yeah. Never mind. I could mess this thing up really quick if it wasn't for them. Y'all see that? I could have all this stuff tore down and everything. I forgot we had this on tomorrow night. All right. Well, y'all have a great...
Why don't you stand with us and we'll sing.